Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Louisiana, the special session on crime is over, and we review the winners, losers, and legislation set to become law in the Pelican State. In Texas, a man has been arrested after police find a girl who has been missing for 8 days. And in Mexico, the cartels are taking over the lime business. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, March 6th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Happy hump day, boys.
Right. Hump day, hump day.
March 6th. Right. March 6th. March
That's
6th.
Not the Ides of March, is it?
No.
That's the 7th?
You know, I meant to look that up the other day.
I think it's the 7th.
I don't really understand the concept there.
It has to do with that famous person. You know,
there's a good movie with George Clooney and Ryan Gosling, political movie.
Come on, man, the famous Greek dude, philosopher or whatever.
Plato,
right? Doesn't it?
Mike didn't know that.
As of March.
There's a lot of famous Greek philosophers.
No, I'm sorry. It's March 15th this year. So,
but anyway. Isn't it the same every year?
I don't know. I don't know, but I know it happens in March. And I don't even know what Ides means. It's not the Ides, it's the Ides, so it's the March.
Either we're booming it or we're...
Yeah, you let it roll. That's
let fine. It roll with us looking like
morons. Yeah, well, sometimes it is what it is.
Well, then we're going to have 50 people writing us to tell us what the Ides are.
Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Yeah, I wanted to talk about some of y'all, this story, to begin the show, I guess, but that... Yeah, I read it, and it brought me back to some pretty bad memories of being on the job. But so the title of it is Father Works Scene of a Hit and Run Without Knowing His Son Had Died in the Collision. I want to share a short story with you and then relate it back to some of my personal experiences, like I told you. And I'll share the story, and then I'll elaborate a little bit. Now, we don't know much, but here's what we know. A New York official responding to a fatal hit and run had no idea that his son was the actual victim of the crash. The Binghamton, New York police report that Tyler Beschorner, 29, died after he was struck while walking on a highway in the early morning hours of February 17th. The incident caused road closures, which meant Tyler's father, Corey Beschorner, a New York State Department of Transportation employee, was called to the scene to assist, I'm sure to help with traffic or whatever, y'all. But this is one of our worst nightmares, Corey told WBNG-TV. When we were setting up, we were saying somebody's world is going to be turned upside down tonight. I didn't know it was going to be mine and my family's. And police are still searching for the vehicle that struck Tyler. Yeah, it brings me back to a couple of things. And I'm not going to say the names, but I've responded to scenes. One of them, it's just tough. The one of them... The guy that was my partner on duty, we got a call of a Signal 20 crash. It was late at night. It was a Mustang that left the road wrapped around a tree. And when I got there, it was a brand new Mustang. And I remember my partner telling me his son had got his son a brand new Mustang. And he pulled up behind me and he started screaming and hollering and then realized it was in. And he was dead AF, and just never forget it, you know. And he's not alive today, but he carries so much guilt because they estimated he'd left the roadway at like 120 some miles an hour sideways.
And this is a young kid, like a teenage kid.
He was a teenager, and he was a good kid. Another one, it's not crash related, but I remember another one got a medical call. Of an elderly gentleman who apparently, you know, had a heart attack or whatever in his bed. And I got there, and started working on him. It was way down south, and my road partner pulls up, and it's his father-in-law. And I got him on the floor and had to do CPR on him until once you start, you can't stop. So that Acadian people showed up, the ambulance people, and it took them forever to get there. And I did it for CPR for so long, and the wife screamed, just let him go. He's dead. But you can't stop this to the point to where he threw up in my mouth. That's before we had the mass things, and my partner's there crying, and his wife came in, shit shows. And you think about the people who go out there and do these things every day, firemen and police officers and stuff like that. But that's a real certain percentage that of a club, member of a club that just you don't want to be a part of. Right.
Well, and I guess especially in smaller communities, you're more likely to know a higher percentage of the people in the community more likely to have these kind of things happen.
I knew a lot more of the people, who got killed and for various reasons, but I'm just thinking of these close that it was such a, having to drag the one guy away from the scene and, God, it's just bad. Okay, come on, describe the boy and all that, and they had to cut him out of the car, and then it took Acadian on the elderly gentleman, like, I swear, it seemed like 14 hours. It took him like 35 minutes or so to get there and listen to the wife scream and all that. But shout out to all those people who get out there and get it done every day, and hearts and prayers go out to anybody that has to experience anything like that, right?
That's right.
So anyway, let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
All right, and we're going to talk about the Louisiana Special Session on Crime, which wrapped up last week. And I'm going to do something a little different. Instead of reading you a 20-minute story like one of our co-hosts may do every now and then, I'm going to break it up into two segments. Segments for you. So we're going to start off with the winners, and in my second segment, I'm going to give you the losers of this crime session. But this is something that's historic in the state of Louisiana in a lot of different ways, and we'll get into that. It was a 9-day special session. There was a lot of issues, as we've talked about in the past, with crime in Louisiana, one of the highest crime-ridden states in the country.
Yeah.
Jeff Landry, who was elected 2 months ago, that was his platform.
And also, he was a top cop. He was attorney general.
That's right. And so he is putting his money where his mouth is, I guess you could say.
I knew it was coming.
And he didn't waste time. Just 2 months into office, he called for this crime special session. And among the things that were considered winners, Louisiana will lower the age to be considered an adult, sending all 17-year-olds to adult court regardless of the crime.
Yeah.
So that was 18.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of states have that anyway. So I mean,
that's right.
Nowadays, you just got to do it.
That's right. In the 9-day special session, as I told you, it fulfilled his platform, his first campaign promise, and he also vowed to potentially keep more people in prison for a longer stretch of time, even though Louisiana is one of the highest incarceration rate in the country per capita. That's right. He also passed a provision to make juvenile justice records.
Back to the other one. He passed something on that?
Yes.
Keeping them incarcerated longer?
Yep. We'll get into that. And he also passed a provision to make certain juvenile justice records available to the public, something the state has typically shied away from to protect the privacy of youth. Yes.
And you know what? That I ran across that so many times over the years. The thing is, when you've committed murder as a 14 or 15-year-old, like double homicides and stuff like that, and you get out at 21, and you commit another murder, I believe that should be able to be used against you. And it hadn't been to this point.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they just seeing this innocent young kid saying,
it's a clean start at that age, no matter what. Yeah.
Well, he, you know, bipartisanship did play a role in this session, and sexual assault survivors were big winners. Yeah. It's not completely dead bipartisanship. Republicans and Democrats in the legislature came together and unanimously passed a law that would give prosecutors more time to initiate the prosecutions of sex crimes. Senate Bill number 9 allows the state's 3-year prosecution period for sex offenses to be restarted if a new photo or video evidence comes to light. What do you think about
that? Wonderful idea. Because most of the times, a lot of times, these victims, the time does expire, you know, and especially if new evidence comes to light, fuck them, do them. Everybody hates a rapist and a chomo.
So that starts a new 3-year clock?
That's right. If they were to find a video or something of someone at a gas station on the day that someone was sexually assaulted and it pointed towards someone they were investigating, yeah, it will restart that clock completely.
Yeah, that's a pretty great idea. I've never even heard of that.
And then a similar proposal, which was proposed by a Democrat out of New Orleans named Delisha Boyd, also unanimously passed the House. Her proposal would have started the prosecution period for third-degree rape once the crime was discovered rather than when it occurred. Third-degree rape occurs when the victim cannot consent due to intoxication, the ability to understand what's happening, or when the victim submits,
Maddie Brooks' case,
believing the assaulter is someone else.
Yep.
So that was a kind of a big win. In addition to that, let's talk about gun owners for a second. Mm-hmm. We touched on the fact that now concealed carry is going to be constitutional carry.
They passed it.
Yeah, it's signed. I believe it goes into effect, get this, July 4th.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
How about that, Mike?
It's already in effect.
Think about that. July 4th. That's Independence Day.
Yeah, it'll be a mixture of fireworks and gunshots.
Indeed it will. Also, another proposal, Senate Bill number 2, grants an unprecedented level of immunity, and this is important, to gun owners involved in a self-defense shooting. Under the legislation, persons who hold concealed gun permits under most circumstances will be able to shoot someone without fear of being sued. The immunity would apply except in cases of gross negligence, intentional misconduct, or commission of a crime that results in a felony.
I totally agree with that because we had never talked about this on the show. The concealed carry permits, even though people do legal shootings and self-defense, the other side can still sue them.
Civil.
Right?
Yeah.
Civil.
I mean,
it happens all
the time. You ride with me and I shoot you and then your family's going to sue me because you robbed me and I was defending myself. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Don't let them sue them.
That's right.
Right?
It would grant them immunity for
you know
that.
What? I mean, golly, them gonna make it political. But shout out to the state of Louisiana because, first of all, the regular session starts in May, mm-hmm. right? And it goes for however long, a month or two or whatever. But for them to come in and get these lawmakers in to try to do something to change the way things are, shout out to them.
And I don't think you're being political. I think that Democrats and Republicans both want the crime rate to be reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, it is crime related, what we're talking about. But what they didn't tell you about is did you hear anything about them bringing back the electric chair?
Actually, they are, and that was, yes, I was going to bring that up. It could be the electric. What they passed was essentially being able to seek out new ways in which to perform executions outside of lethal injection, which obviously, as Woody said many times on this show, you can't get the drugs for right now. So electric chair could be one of those options, as well as what they've done in other states.
The Alabama thing.
What was it? What type of gas was it? The nitrogen?
I think was it carbon dioxide or nitrogen?
I thought whatever it was nitrogen.
They take all the oxygen out of the room. Yeah. And then, that's going to be the next thing you're going to hear about is executions cranking up again.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So that was, on my next round, I'm going to give you the losers in this crime special session as well. But that was the winners.
Sounds like the losers might be some of those guys getting the execution.
And
well, just criminals, and criminals will definitely lose.
Allowing in the you know, previous serious juvenile crimes, the longer prison sentences. When I was starting corrections, like in 1990, there were only like 650,000 people incarcerated in the United States. Now it's in the millions, 30 years later.
There were only 600. Wow, that's hard to believe.
It's in the millions.
Wow.
Yeah, there you have it.
Well, it's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally, designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara. Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
A little bit. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. All right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use AstroPro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directive for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
AstroPro and go.
Well, speaking of some people who should be incarcerated but aren't, let's go south of the border to Mexico.
Mexico.
We're going to talk about limes.
Mm-hmm. I don't like them in my beer.
Yep.
About your margarita.
I can't really drink margaritas.
Me neither. Makes me.
I can drink them, but somebody's not going to like it. One of the two.
Nobody's going to like it if I drink them.
There's a lot of uses for limes. So, listen to this. The attack began in the early hours Tuesday. Residents awoke to the rattle of gunfire, which continued throughout the day. Powerful blasts thought to be from explosives dropped by drones. shook their houses. By the end of the onslaught, no one knows how many people had died as the casualties were dragged away by the two rival cartels. Their gang war spilled violently into the streets of the small Mexican town of Buena Vista.
Buena Vista.
Buena Vista. But this wasn't rivals warring over smuggling illegal drugs. It's a battle for control of the region's production of limes. Mm. Mexico is the world's second largest producer of the fruit. It's exported around the world where they flavor margaritas, cocktails, salsas, tacos, and much more.
Beer.
And beer, yes, sorry. Corona, you don't put one in your shiner, do you?
No, fuck that. but like Modelo's
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis, and they always serve them with a lime. I just don't like lime. I mean, it's not that I don't like lime. I just like them.
Well, the gangs are fighting a deadly turf war to control that lucrative business, running protection rackets to impose taxes on farmers that are trying to earn a living. Workers defying their threats and extortion demands run the risk of being killed, kidnapped, losing their homes, being banished, etc.
It's no different than your people doing it.
No. Let's stick to the story here. Right. One prominent local figure claims that over the last decade, 3,000 lime farmers have been slaughtered in the state that includes Buena Vista. It is believed that 150,000 people have fled the state's bloodletting and gone to America. The whole of the lime industry is controlled by the gangs, and there is a lack of freedom for producers, according to Buena Vista's mayor, Sergio Baez. He says, so in a way, when people in the U.S. or U.K. buy their limes, they are contributing to organized crime. Last week, security forces in the municipality seized at least 130 homemade explosive devices to be dropped by drones. So these guys are using the drones. Yeah. Last week's nocturnal attack involved hitmen tied to the Tepalcatepec cartel. I'd never heard of that one. Trying to oust Los Viagras, a group notorious for its savagery, and a group that's led by this guy who's nicknamed the Mermaid.
A mermaid.
These guys all have to have nicknames.
Daryl Hannah.
This gang won national infamy with a video entitled No Mercy in Mexico, where they showed the gruesome execution of a father and son accused of collaborating with their rivals. The gangsters cut off the head of the father before ripping out the heart of the son.
Really?
On camera.
Mm. Did they take a bite of it?
I didn't watch the video. Yeah. Sorry. I'm going to Parish Forensics in 3 weeks. That's enough. The cartels also have their claws into the avocado business. I think we've known that for a while. Buena Vista alone is producing 220,000 tons of limes a year. The gang's levy on producers and packers earns them at least $30 million annually from this single scam in this single municipality. So just from the Buena Vista area, $30 million going to cartels. So the equation is very simple. You pay up or you run the risk that the criminals will stop your next shipment on the road or burn it. So it's cheaper to just pay these guys to go away. And like you said, Woody, yes, similar to the sanitation business at one point in New York City. So I got lots of stats about how many people have been killed in this thing, but it's a lot. And it's been going on for quite a while. And the police force there basically in bed with the cartels.
That's
and
what I'm saying.
Nothing's going to happen.
They making profit off of the limes because they know they can get away with the killings in Mexico. It's not like they have to worry about losing shipments and getting prosecuted by the DEA and all that. I mean, I'm making jokes, but I should be making jokes like killing people.
No, and there's one guy who's kind of the, you know, playing the Elliot Ness in this thing. And it's really a family, and they gun down one of them, the Moras, and the new guy is named Hippolito. It was Hippolito that was gunned down, and the new guy is Guadalupe. And this guy is serious about trying to fight back against the cartels, and they've arrested a lot of people, and you know are trying to put up a fight. But you know, I think the script is written here on what is going to happen because it's happened before.
Well, we're gonna. You know, avocados, man.
Love avocados.
Love avocados. Man. They're expensive.
They are.
That's the cartel price increase.
Okay. Yeah, the avocados, way bueno.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I could eat those with every meal. Yeah. Superfood.
Superfood.
A lot of them, those come from Chile.
Yep, a lot of them come from Mexico now too.
Yep.
And it's, well, the ones from Chile, I don't think have
the ones from Chile are too spicy. Okay. Right.
Got to squeeze them, make sure they're not too soft when you get them.
You know, I used to get pissed because you would get the avocados and they would be all black on the inside, even though they didn't look like it. But a friend of mine told me there's a little pit at the bottom of them, and the pit on the outside will match what it looks like on the inside every time.
My mom used to take the whatever the thing that in the middle is out and put it in a water bowl on the windowsill, and they'll sprout.
Really?
Yeah.
My wife will go and feel up like 100 of those freaking things to take 5 home. Yeah. And I'm thinking everyone that goes into the supermarket does the same thing. That avocado's been, you know, completely harassed by 50 sets of hands before you bring it home.
I try to dig to the bottom.
It's a good idea. Except then the whole display goes falling.
Hey, that's not my problem.
That's not your problem.
You don't clean up on aisle 3.
You don't clean up the floor. Okay.
All right, we're going to go back to the special session, give you some of the losers, and I'm going to expand a little bit on what we talked about in the last little go-around with House Bill number 6, which was expanding the execution methods. And as Woody said, they're going to add electrocution to that and nitrogen gas known as hypoxia.
They're going to break out. Gruesome Gertie.
Yeah.
They need to make a new one when they got the one that works perfectly well.
That's right. So those are the two methods they are proposing as alternates. This is interesting, it shields records related to executions, including who supplies the state the drugs and the equipment used from public view, and there's going to be some civil penalties involved if those records get out.
I think they should. It's just like they hide the executioner and they close the curtains now when they insert the IVs so people can't see who it is that's doing and get any kind of retribution.
Well, that's right, and you kind of led me into this, but the reason they're giving for it is proponents of that bill argue that the state would be more likely to obtain lethal injection drugs if businesses didn't have to fear negative consequences for selling the drugs.
Exactly correct.
So some states, including Texas, they've resumed executions after approving what's known as secrecy bills. Arkansas has a similar law with much stiffer penalties, but has been unable to obtain drugs even with those laws. Louisiana civil penalties would apply to anyone who publicizes the information, whether they are a corrections employee, a journalist who obtained the information lawfully, doesn't matter. So we need to keep that in mind. And First Amendment experts say the penalties would be unconstitutional if applied to the news media. So there's you kind of an argument that you can make, maybe, for First Amendment rights of
they'll be suing about that.
Freedom of public information and all that sort of thing. Public defenders would be considered kind of a loser in this election. I don't mean a loser personally, but a loser as far as, or in this session rather. The public defense system has been substantially overhauled. Under the new system, the governor will have more power over public defense. Senate Bill number 8 was condemned by almost everybody in the system, from frontline public defenders to those on the state's public defender board. Some said the proposal was a power grab on the part of the state public defender named Remy Starnes, who is the only person involved in the system to testify in favor of the legislation. Reese's bill does away with the current structure and shifts most of the board's power to a newly created office of the state public defender, headed by an executive of Landry, the governor's choosing, subject to the public defender's board approval and Senate confirmation. It creates a new board with 9 members instead of 11 to oversee the state's public defense system, though the governor will get to choose 4 of those board members. The new board will be called the Louisiana Public Defender Oversight Board, but it will have limited powers and authority compared with the new state's public defender.
That was a loss, so it didn't pass.
Well, it wasn't a loss as far as passing. It was a loss as far as public defenders are losing some of their power.
Yeah, well, so I understand that because
the public defenders themselves lost
a lot of times.
They request
funds for this and that and whatever, and it won't get approved by that board. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and you know, tip. I mean, these appointees to boards by the governor. Look, it happens.
I turned it down. I turned it down for 15 effing years for the Louisiana Polygraph Board, and because I said I want no part of it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, on the outside looking, I wouldn't think of public defenders as having some kind of powerful group effort. I mean, it seems like such a difficult, poorly paying position in the legal
world. I got a lot of great friends that say that's how they make their ends meet, right? They pay their bills and everything else. They and then a certain amount of lawyers, they, in death penalty cases, you can't just get any public defender. You have to be death penalty certified and stuff like that. It pays a little bit more, but it doesn't pay what these high-powered defense attorneys are making. But in every courtroom, there's more public defenders than there are regular lawyers.
Well, and can you straddle both fences here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You can have your own practice and then get paid, I guess, as a contractor and come in and
– Good friends. Some of my – Jim and my good friends do that. But, you know, that's how they make their ends meet because they know they can fed public defender cases, period.
Right. And one final loss, I guess, for some, and that would be the Justice Reinvestment Initiative. It was a bipartisan change to the Louisiana criminal justice system that former Governor John Bel Edwards championed. It is now non-existent. Known as the Justice Reinvestment Initiative, the measures were meant to reduce the state's prison population and funnel savings into services for crime victims and anti-recidivism efforts. New laws that eliminate parole and limit good time credit and post-conviction relief opportunities for the incarcerated means that the Louisiana criminal justice system will soon be even more punitive than when Edwards and the legislator made changes in 2017.
Yeah, not really more punitive, just they're going to get the same sentence. They just can't get as much good time, which is a day. Every day you don't misbehave, you get a day off your sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you think about that? I mean, there are some advantages to good time relative to it kind of keeps, somebody from.
If you get somebody in on
just being buck wild.
On a 10-year charge. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, when I used to write them up on a cell block, even though if they were on the cell block, most of the time they had already lost good time. Yeah. High court write-ups. And you go down there and you shove that through the screen, you knew you were going to have to fight them that night because they knew they were going to lose more good time.
Yeah.
And so essentially, when you lose a good time, that's like losing in court again because you get a 10-year sentence.
That's a good point.
Now you're going to get out in five, but you got a chance to screw that up, right?
Well, that is the news.
They lose that. They lose their incentive to behave well.
Right.
Anything about putting more cops on the street?
Well, we discussed in prior episodes that Landry has committed to putting a new troop in New Orleans and additional police. There's no debate that new cops need to be on the street, and he's willing to look. It's wanting to be a new cop.
It's cool.
The shortage is not from the state discouraging it. It's people don't want to be cops.
I think that what's going to happen is in the regular session they got to find the money for it. Which is what
they need to give them all raises. Session. They need to make it.
But they have to take money from somewhere to put it.
If they're budgeted to have X number and have only been able to hire X, theoretically, that money already exists. It's not money. It's the lack of people wanting those jobs.
That's also a crock of shit, too, because I can remember being with state police. And, one year might be an up year. One year might be a down year. The down year where you used to have the secretary and X amount of other people doing it. Shit, they just cut the positions. Yeah. I'm like, well, fuck me. I'm getting punished for doing my job now. You're taking away my support.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's right.
Because you're going to take my buck and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is, historic, really, in my opinion, special session.
Yeah, it's historic just because he got one this early.
Yeah.
And then passed all that shit.
Well, and it also will have an impact on people's desire to work in law enforcement. If they believe the state and the governor are behind law enforcement aggressively, very true. Then you know, younger people are going to be more encouraged to seek a career there.
Well, you remember, I remember Woody saying, you know, heck, I might come out of retirement with this governor in office.
Exactly right. Yeah.
You know, you want to work for somebody, and he is the leader of all that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, they need to keep him there for a while. Hopefully they will. Let's go to Missouri.
Missouri.
Where a former middle school principal has pleaded guilty to federal murder for hire charges after hiring someone to kill his girlfriend and his unborn child.
There you go.
First class principal here. According to the plea agreement, Cornelius Green, who worked for the St. Louis Public Schools, paid a man $2,500 to kill Jocelyn Peters. Apparently, Guido at Rent-A-Hitman was not available. He could have got a better deal. Yeah. But at the time, Peters was 27 weeks pregnant with Green's child. Mm. Green was married to another woman, but was engaged in romantic relationships with several other women, including Peters, who also worked in the school district as a teacher. The man Green is accused of paying to commit the murder, his name is Philip Cutler, is set to go on trial for the murder for hire in March. Nearly a month, well, it is March now, so sometime this month. Nearly a month before Peters was killed, prosecutors allege that Green texted Cutler asking him to come to St. Louis. The plea agreement states that Green then stole money from the school where he worked and used it to pay Cutler. So it wasn't bad enough that he was going to knock off his girlfriend. He stole the money to do it. Green allegedly provided Cutler with keys to a car and to Peter's apartment before traveling to Chicago so he could have an alibi. Prosecutors allege that Cutler then entered Peter's apartment, shot her in the head before calling Green to inform him that he had done it. That same day, Green bought a ticket, train ticket, and returned to St. Louis and went to Peter's apartment where he called 911 to report that she had been killed. According to the plea deal, Green will be sentenced to life in prison for murder for hire and conspiracy to commit murder for hire. Cutler could face the death penalty if he is found guilty in the trial that begins next week.
That's crazy.
What a model principle.
Yeah, we had one in Baton Rouge just a couple of years ago where the lady was a teacher. I think the other guy was a teacher or a coach or something, and he took her out by the Chaffee Bridge and shot her. She was pregnant. And I don't think it's been adjudicated yet. So, but it's crazy. But, you know, talk about that case that Roy and the two Christians worked on, the one I'm talking about the Chaffee Basin. So that's their area. And I told y'all last week that last Friday I was going to be the guest speaker at LOPA in the Louisiana Corn Association's convention. And guess who I ran into? Not only run into, I got to hang out with Roy and the two Christians.
Awesome.
Right? From Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Pet Crematory. Look, y'all, they had a badass
Christian, you promised who set up we would meet first.
When we go, I meant to get some of the stickers that they had there. They were awesome and amazing. But anyway, they loved them. It was awesome running into them.
Wait, you're talking about the one, but underneath the big American flag, Woody?
Yep. The big American flag and Broussard.
Okay, I got to throw a penalty flag here. I saw some pictures you posted on Facebook, Woody.
Yep.
Are you sure you were talking shop? Because you look like you were getting pretty chummy with the Christians.
Hey, let me tell you something. They're awesome. And hey, I may not always be a professional, Mike, but the two Christians and Roy are. And I love it when regional companies sponsor the show, but I love it so much more when we learn that these companies have a great product and are run by good people. And I'm going to tell you something. I got to hang with them. Roy and Kristen. Kristen are awesome.
Well, Woody, like we always say, we're all going to go at some point. And dirt it's. Nap.
Yes.
What's that?
That's dirt right. Nap. A dirt nap. And it's reassuring to know that when that happens or when it happens to a family pet, we've got people we can turn to that we can trust.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, for one, am looking forward to our visit to Broussard in a couple of weeks, despite the fact that neither of you want to give a eulogy at my funeral.
That's true.
Whether it's a family pet or family member, or whether it's a direct cremation or a traditional two-day funeral service with a graveside burial, you know what to do. Call 1-800-FUNERAL. That's 1-800-FUNERAL. Or go to LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com. That's LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com.
Or just go drop in on them under the big American flag in Broussard, Louisiana.
Rest easy. All right, and we're going to go to Texas. And we're going to talk about a man that has been arrested and charged in connection with the disappearance of a Houston area minor under the age of 13 who was missing for 8 days before being found safe. Thank God. The girl went missing on February 22nd from her home near Houston. Police issued an Amber Alert saying they believe she had been sex trafficked. When she was first missing, it was believed that she had left on their own. But police, they did obtain new information, which made them believe she may have been trafficked. Police shared that the girl may have been on social media and on an app in particular called Tagged, but did not provide further details on what role the child's possible presence on the site may have played in their investigation. The girl was found unharmed 73 miles from Houston in Columbia, Texas, police said. She was taken to the Texas Children's Hospital for evaluation. This child is one of about 460,000 children, y'all, who go missing in the United States every year. Columbus police said they were advised about the missing girl and told that possibly that missing girl was in their city, and they attempted to detain Sariton Preston, who is 27 of Houston, Texas, in reference to having possession of that missing juvenile. So Preston attempted to flee the police, but he was captured and arrested, and he was charged with evading and taken to the Colorado County Detention Facility in Texas. Yeah. And he is definitely an intimidating-looking character and a piece of shit.
Yeah, I agree.
And if he did this.
Thank God they got her back alive, and I know they'll get her whatever kind of mental help she needs for being involved in another ordeal, but she would have ended up dead.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. I mean, what's the percentage survival rate from something like that? It's got to be a very low number.
I would imagine,
It's got to be very low because we talk about very few of them, right?
That's right.
That's crazy.
Well, let's go to the Pacific Northwest. They love me up there. Yeah, I get lots of fan mail from
I'm sure you got a lot from Seattle last week.
I get a lot from Oregon.
That's right.
Yeah. Oregon. Where, incidentally, they just recriminalized.
I saw that.
All of those drugs that they had decriminalized a couple of years ago. So the meth and heroin all this stuff.
Blew my mind that made all that shit legal.
Except drug deaths over a 3-year period tripled.
Yeah.
We've covered all the other.
After that.
Except for the psychobilly mushrooms and weed.
I didn't see the mushrooms come into this.
Okay. It's not the ones that you pick in the wild. It's like the chocolate bar, psychobilly mushrooms.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't know they had that. Interesting.
And we're seeing a number of signs that, you know, sort of sanity is coming back to certain places this go, and these homeless encampments took over, and the drugs are everywhere.
It's like when they said they were going to start sending social workers, they're going to defund the police and send social workers to 911 calls. I said, let me know how that works out.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to see some sanity return. So, unfortunately, the story I have is not one involving sanity. It's involving an Oregon father. A terrified preteen desperately tried to keep her unconscious friend safe from assault after they were allegedly drugged at a sleepover by the host's father.
Saw this.
The 12-year-old sent a series of frantic texts pleading for rescue while Michael Maiden, 57 years old, allegedly prowled the home in Lake Oswego, which is a suburb of Portland, to see if tranquilizers he had given the girls had taken effect. So Let me invite my friends over for a sleepover, and there's Daddy drugging everybody. Maiden has denied these accusations. She was the only one of the four girls to refuse the spiked smoothies Maiden insisted that they drink. And later, she pretended she was asleep as Maiden repeatedly tried to edge one of her drugged friends away from her. They were, like, cuddled, sleeping together, and he was pulling one away. Mom, please pick me up and say I had a family emergency. I don't feel safe, is what she wrote as Maiden returned upstairs briefly. So that's the text to her mother. I might not respond, but please come get me. Please, 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 please. Lots of pleases. The three girls had joined Maiden's daughter for the spa night sleepover at his home. Maiden, a human resources director, was, quote, highly involved in the event, taking them out to get their nails done and then picking up pizza for their dinner. Before going to bed, Maiden allegedly made them two smoothies each and insisted that they drink them. Mr. Maiden gave each of the girls specific colored reusable straws so he could distinguish their own drink. He was adamant that the girls drink out of their own cups. Police say one girl drank both of her smoothies and another girl drank one. But the third said she did not like the smoothies and barely drank any at all. Authorities claim that one of the girls said that the drinks appeared to have, quote, tiny white chunks in them, and that Maiden's own daughter appeared to have drunk a significant amount. The girls then retired to the basement, where two slept in a bedroom and the other slept on a pull-out couch. The only undrugged girl remained awake and saw Maiden come into the basement and pull the heavy drug girl away from her. When he disappeared upstairs, she pulled her unconscious friend back next to her, only to find Maiden return and pull her away again. As Maiden allegedly retreated, she began calling and texting her parents and was eventually able to reach a family friend who picked her up and took her home. As word spread, the parents of the other two girls arrived to retrieve their daughters at about 3 a.m., but Maiden was allegedly reluctant to let them in, telling them their children were asleep. The parents took the girls to Randall Children's Hospital, where they tested positive for benzos. Mm-mm. Benzodiazepines.
Yeah, which is basically Xanax.
Tranks. More usually used to calm anxiety or as a sleeping aid. The girl who drank two smoothies told police she began to feel woozy, hot, and clumsy shortly after finishing the second. She then blacked out and fell into a thick, deep sleep. Maiden has been charged with three felony counts of causing another person to ingest a controlled substance, three felony counts of applying a Schedule 4 controlled substance to the body of a minor, and three misdemeanor counts of delivering to a minor a Schedule 4 controlled substance. He surrendered at the Clackamas County Jail on Tuesday and pleaded not guilty, and his arraignment is on Wednesday, is actually today, before he was released on $50,000 bail. So,
let me tell you, that first of all, thank God that the young lady called her parents and let them know about this. And the only justice for this guy, in my opinion, would be lock him in a cell and let them parents have him.
Yep, right.
That is about as low as it gets.
And I just did a Real Life Real Crime original on sleepover, and this is a hot topic, sent us to number one in the world. But the white chunks of the benzos, that means they're off the 2 milligram Xanax bars. They call them bars, and the 1 milligrams are the purple footballs. So he was seriously pumping them full of some stuff.
Yeah,
well, actually, let me tell you something. You take 2 milligrams of Xanax as a guy your size,
yeah,
your ass is knocked out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you're drinking alcohol, you're gonna be blacked out.
Yeah.
What I wrote myself a note to ask you, what was the name of the episode of involving the sleepover that went viral last year on TikTok? Do you remember the name?
No. Well, it was the very first episode I ever did.
Double Clutch,
Christina and David Constance. The very first real-life, real-crime episode ever. But I didn't know when I went back that they had, people had done all these YouTube videos and stuff about that, including me and Real Life for Crime and that story in there. And there were a lot of them. Some of them not as correct as others. But I put one, like, 12-minute clip of this lady while she was cooking. It was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah. And well, you just did sleep over this weekend,
this past week, yeah.
Well, just another reason to, not let you, unless you really know that other family well, their relatives or whatever.
At the end of the episode, I explain that. Teach kids to be aware and not afraid. Because the deal is, I would hate to think of my youth
had I not to got to have sleepovers. I spent more time at my best friend's house. I like his parents are my parents, yeah. and vice versa.
Yeah.
Either I was at his house or he was at my house. I'm talking like weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Open door policy.
Open door policy, blah, blah, blah. And then that's why it took me by such surprise, this whole sleepover or anti-sleepover thing. But then people reference back to Christina and David Constance, and they just went. I mean, that was the number one downloaded episode in the world.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day, maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Super Cops.
And we have a super cop today, and this is a super fireman,
right?
That we're going to talk about. This is pretty much viral, the video of this. And y'all, look, before we get into the story, I'm going to post that video on the Facebook page because what I'm going to tell you does not do it justice, no matter how good I could tell it, right? So we're going to talk about a driver that had been rescued from the cab of a truck that was left dangling dramatically over the edge of a bridge in Louisville, Kentucky, after her vehicle crashed into the barrier. And this vehicle was an 18-wheeler, y'all. The woman was unharmed, and video showed rescue workers descending to pull her out of the cab. When you see this video, you're actually going to see a fireman dangling from a zip line, I guess you would call it, Woody, and dangling down to her. She is dangling over a bridge that looks like it's a mile in the air. Picture your biggest bridge in your biggest town, you know, wherever you're listening from. Firefighters confirmed the driver was pulled from the truck using ropes and ladders and was back safely on the bridge in about 45 minutes after the crash. She held together like a champ, the Louisville Fire Department Chief Brian O'Neill said in a news conference, and he described the woman as very calm throughout the ordeal, which is amazing in and of itself. I mean, I could imagine me, my wife, and
probably a testament to that fireman keeping her calm.
Absolutely. He said, I will say the second she hit solid ground, she was able to let those emotions go and just have relief. It's a pretty impressive thing. One of the rescuers, firefighter Brian Carden, said his training prepared him for the encounter, telling reporters, we've certainly done some crazy things in our time, but this tops it. Yes.
Repelling ropes.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Repelling. That's the word I was trying to think of. But this guy essentially rappelled down off of this bridge, swung to the side of the cab, calmed the woman down enough because.
And then he has to hook her up.
Then he has to hook her up. And look, how many drownings do you see work?
They drown the person that's saving them.
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, don't start freaking out because we're both going
to. Well, plus, she's got to do a lot of moving around, I would assume, to get harnessed up there.
Any time that truck could go.
And she's in that precarious position with that truck. It looks like dangling, and it could go any second. So any adjustment of her weight could create something. What a freaky.
That's right. And you really have to see it to believe it because the story just does not do it justice. But we want to shout out this super brave firefighter.
Super.
Mr. Brian Callen is our super cop / firefighter today.
Superhero. And he's from the Louisville Fire Department?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
Great job, brother.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Do we know anything about how the truck got in that crazy position?
Yeah, it ran off.
Swerved, yeah. it ran off the bridge.
Yeah. I got that, Woody. But,
I mean, maybe someone slammed on their brakes and it swerved. I don't know. It didn't specify in the article.
Or something or whatever.
Yeah.
Ask an obvious question, get an obvious answer.
That's right. Yeah,
Kinky
here we go. Wednesday.
Kinky crimes for hump day. So, y'all, let's go to these places aren't even safe anymore. You know, your local strip club. It's not the Landing Strip, but a strip club patron was popped in the face with a small stack of cash by a female worker who explained to an arrest officer that this is a place where money is thrown everywhere.
Of course. Right? Where's the crime?
Right? Exactly. Make it rain? It's just not in the face, I guess. Police were called late Tuesday night to Body Talk, topless club.
Ever been there, Mike? Body Talk?
In Port St. Lucie. He's taking the fifth on that one.
No.
In Florida to investigate a battery on a male customer. The victim, John McLevy, told cops that he was talking to several employees of the establishment about his career, acknowledged that the women were upset he had not provided them with any tips.
Go to Hooters, idiot.
The 24-year-old McLevy, apparently ignorant of strip joint etiquette, said that he did not see any signs stating it was mandatory to tip. You cheap fucker. Bro said that the victim had not thrown money at them, which is common practice at the establishment. A friend of McLevy's told police that he was drunk and had been talking about having a lot of money and not wanting to provide a tip. So he's rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Which apparently led to the 9 p.m. confrontation with Victoria Jones. Jones told sheriff's deputies that McLevy was drunk and being rude and had been following employees from table to table, verbally insulting them. Jones, cops say, said she picked up a small stack of money and threw it towards the victim, who was struck in the face with the legal tender. Right? She claimed the cash was tossed in a non-aggressive manner, adding that this is a place where money is thrown everywhere. McLevy's friend told investigators that he observed Jones take money and slap the victim with it. The club surveillance cameras recorded Jones and McLevy exchanging words before Jones hit the man with the cash and followed up with an open hand strike.
Oh,
yeah, so his ass got arrested for battery. Yeah, we got a little picture of Body Talk. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Well, I'm going to tell you two of the funniest stories from Gentleman's Club that he's ever seen. One of his buddies did not swim. Thought it would be funny when the main entertainer came out on the stage to throw a handful of change up. Yeah, he got bounced.
Yeah.
And the other one went up and put a dollar bill. This was on different nights. Put a dollar, rolled up a dollar bill and put it in his nose and went up to the girl and blew it out like a booger. He got bumped.
God.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's not strip club.
Yeah.
Okay. The problem there is obviously not Victoria Jones. The problem is the doofus who went into the club and was disrespectful.
Yeah,
to
but at least he got to go and tell his wife he didn't spend any money.
Yeah. There's no sign that says I have to tip. There's no sign that
says I have to tip.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's your kinky crimes for Wednesday.
Very good.
Where was that place?
Body Talk.
That was in
St. Lucie.
Port St. Lucie. That's where the New York Mets train. I bet they get a lot of Mets action in Body Talk.
Dwight Gooden might.
I don't think Dwight goes to spring training any longer.
Didn't he do Booger Show?
Jim's baseball references are all 1980s.
Gary Carter.
See? We're going to do something a little bit different today on Dumb Criminals. I have approached the board and have a pending application for a new segment. The new segment is called How to Prevent Your Kids from Going to Jail.
Oh, yeah.
And as an initial entry into the new segment, we're going to talk about a story that's gone a little viral out there. The story and video are currently making the rounds on Twitter. We will post it for you so you can see it. The story features an angry father whose son has defied a specific command from his dad. I'd like to submit it as exhibit number one of How to Prevent Your Kid from Ending Up in Jail, a new crime prevention series I'm auditioning today for Woody with the support of the board's new segments committee. The boy, who looks to be about 12 or 13 years old, has been caught stealing candy. He was specifically told not to take that candy. So when his father discovers this, he gives his son an ultimatum. You'll hear the ultimatum in this short clip.
My typical son. Now, I want to beat his ass, but I ain't going to beat his ass. I got his Xbox. Which one would you like? You want an ass whooping, or you want me to keep his Xbox?
As you can see, the father is carrying both the Xbox and a belt in his arm and asks the kid to choose between, quote, an ass whooping or an Xbox. The boy chooses to take the ass whooping and keep his Xbox, but the father turns that around on him. As you'll hear, he gives the boy his Xbox back, but it will never quite be the same.
Come here. Get your ass over here.
My feet are hot.
Goddamn thieving ass motherfucker. Keep on crying, all that black on. Now, what do you want? Do you want this Xbox or you want this ass whooping? Which one you want?
Keep the Xbox.
You want to keep the Xbox? That's the good answer. I'm going to give you the Xbox right now.
Oh, no. Broken.
Bye.
He's gonna give him it broken.
Tracy,
back up, Tracy.
He's gonna give
him
it broken.
Oh! See? Hey, this is how I get down. He wanted the Xbox, because that's easy.
As you heard, Dad placed the Xbox underneath the rear tire of his Tahoe and backed up over that thing, destroying it. After he destroyed it, the father comes back inside to announce to the family and his crying son why he did what he did. And here's what that sounded like.
I'm Janiyah.
You throwing stuff?
No!
No!
I'm
Janiyah.
I'm
still alone.
You still alive.
I'm still alive.
Hey,
now you see that? You want the Xbox more than you want the ass whooping. I want you to quit fucking lying to me and steal it. I ain't gonna beat your ass, I ain't going to jail, but I can tear your shit up. Hey, you back? Back in my place, let's go tear it up. This has been another motherfucking broadcast brought to you by your boy Shogo. I'm probably gonna say I'm mean as fuck, but look, I can't go to jail for tearing up some shit I bought.
Overall, I'd have to say that this is very effective use of deterrence strategy. I think chances are good this kid will think long and hard before he defies his father's wishes again. Guys, too harsh, not harsh enough, or just right?
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad just got my ass beat, but you can't do that nowadays. But I can tell you my 13-year-old son would take the whooping before the PlayStation or the Xbox or whatever. So I think it's genius what they did.
Yeah, and at least the threat that you might use force, you know, will even though the father knew he couldn't whip him with his belt. It's not going to whip him with the belt. He used it to strike some fear.
Just cut them eyes.
Yeah.
And make him cry.
Just the look. Yeah. The look gets him. Okay, well, give us some banjos.
Okay, so we got to come up with a new name for it and some new music for it. Y'all send in your suggestions.
How to prevent your kid from going to jail.
Or a life of crime. Because they may not go to jail. They may be smart.
I'll have to review this segment. Option.
Yeah.
A little discipline from dad goes a long way to keeping kid out of jail.
All right, Woody, any final thoughts?
Just love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. I want to thank LOPA and the Louisiana Oregon
Procurement Agency.
And that's the name of the LOPA.
I'm just having a total brain cramp here.
The Corn Association for having me. Man, what a trip. Get me all of that. It was such a great experience, such great people. Shout out to Joe Harrell, who was there. He's retiring on March the 28th as the assistant coroner in Livingston. And he and I cut our teeth together. Y'all have heard many stories about him. But anyway, thanks, y'all. Go Real Life for Crime Daily page and see all this good stuff that they post about these episodes. And I appreciate you.
You're speaking at the parole board, too, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, it'll be next week. And not only speaking, but...
On Jim's behalf, or you...
Yeah. I'm speaking, trying to get Jim out of jail, out of board jail. speaking up there with those fine folks at their convention and judging a Iron Chef cook-off.
Look at you.
A couple other celebrity judges, so it'll be pretty cool. But anyway, love y'all. Peace.
Yeah, I'll be judging the Louisiana OnlyFans beauty pageant in St. Charles.
Not until you give me your login. How many times have I sat down and said nobody still sent me a login? I guess they don't want me to see what they've been looking at.
Yeah,
I actually am not an OnlyFans subscriber. Sorry.
Yeah.
Jim doesn't have that excuse, so I don't know why he hasn't given me his login.
I wasn't talking about y'all. I was talking about any of the fans.
Fans, share your login with Woody.
Yeah.
Let him see what it's all about.
That's right.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
I'm glad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.